Welcome to the IT Babble Podcast, where we talk about educational technology and a whole lot more. You can find our podcast on iTunes, please subscribe, or your very favorite podcasting app. Also, you can find our blog at www.itbabble.com.
All right, we are back. It's been a long time, but we are back. Thanks for joining us for episode 189. I am here with Tony. Tony, it's been a while. Should we go through and tell people what we've been up to, or what do you want to talk about before we jump in?
I guess the question is, are we going to promise our audience that it's over and that we're going to start going once a week again, no more excuses? Because I've changed my schedule around, so I'm now free every Sunday evening. Before, I was working out on Sunday evenings, and it was really impacting my podcasting time.
You know, we might be able to do it. My family and I moved into a house, our first house. So before, we were in an apartment, and to podcast, we had a desk in our bedroom. And so I'd have to kick my wife out of the bedroom. And if she was tired, then because if I podcast in a living room, the kids were sharing a room, they would hear, they'd come out. So it wasn't, there really wasn't a good time. But now we kind of have like an office area. So I definitely have a dedicated space. I think we could do once a week. I think we could, man.
I think we're going to have to because, like, you know, we either need to say we're going to podcast and people need IT Babble, or we need to come up with another podcast.
Ooh.
And do that. So either way, we need to podcast. It's just whether or not we're going to change topics or not. You know, maybe we'll talk about something that, you know, maybe we know about something else. I don't know.
Yeah.
We might have other opinions.
Yeah. And we definitely have lots of hobbies and
we could just have a podcast where we make fun of my friend Keith.
No.
The Keith lawyer. Make fun of Keith.
Keith is awesome.
We could do it for like 2 years and then tell him about it.
No, don't.
After there's like, you know, like 100 episodes, he'd be like, what?
I'm going to veto. I like Keith. I know. We can't make fun of him. He's a lawyer. He'll sue us. He'll sue us for slander. He'll sue us. He'll find a way. He'll sue us. I can't afford a lawsuit right now, Tony. I just moved into a house. I can't afford that.
It's not slander. Right, it'll all be true. It'll just be all the bad choices he's made. No. He's been a Bengals fan his whole life, Patrick. Come on.
They're looking okay this year. The Bengals are looking okay, though. They're looking okay.
They're always looking okay.
They are.
They're always looking okay.
I like this new quarterback they have, this Joe Burrow guy. He seems to be
pretty good. And don't remember, Keith pretends to like sour beer, which I still don't understand. So this is the truth. You know, this could be like, I mean, if we really got into it, maybe this is what we need to be doing. So let's just think about it. I'm willing to do ed tech stuff for a while, school stuff. But like, you know, we could do like a series. Like we do a Keith series, an Omar series.
I like the Omar series. I like that.
Yeah. Keith, Omar. There's some other people like in the past, you know, we could do talks about.
I
don't know. It could be good. You know how they do like the serial killer series? It could be like that. Like people that we've worked with who are working in education, we just happen to know.
We could talk about AB negative. You know, AB negative. That's a former.
I was just thinking about that guy.
Former colleague of ours.
There's a person at my current job who reminds me
of AB negative,
and I was thinking about a way to win. Like in this scenario, I was like, I should use the AB negative approach where we do everything around him until he can't say no because everybody else is doing it. So, you don't have to participate, but everybody else is. So whatever you want to do.
Oh,
whatever
man.
You want to do. All right.
Well, all right. Here.
So, I don't know. I didn't really have a summer break. I don't really want to explain why. It will not happen again next year.
Yeah. It was special circumstances for you. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I was just other people just ruining my life, you know. But anyway, So I think that's going to be under control, and all of our stuff for opening school was delayed. Like, I mean, equipment. So we're actually getting 22 classrooms worth of technology on Monday.
Oh my gosh. Well, man, yeah. That'll keep you busy. Yeah,
it's for great because like the classrooms are fully occupied with people and there's no time to install it.
Nothing like working on the car while it's running kind of a deal.
That's exactly. I always like to say it's making the bed while people are jumping on it.
Yeah, that's even better.
So, we have a contractor and I've got a little schedule made. So I had to make a schedule off of a rotating schedule because somebody gave me the schedule and I'm like, AV contractor cannot read a rotating middle school schedule. This is not going to happen. They're not going to understand that first period is in the morning on Monday, but in the afternoon on Tuesday. They're not going to get that.
We have, at my school, we're having some, problems with our PA system, our public announcement system, which also runs our bells, and we're slowly getting there, but we've been working on this since spring. It's just been a kind of a debacle, but people are like, well, why can't you fix it like tomorrow? And I was like, do you want me to test the PA system while walking into every room and making announcements?
I know.
While people are teaching and like using walkie talkies to communicate. And I was like, do you know how disruptive that's going to be? And
so, yeah.
Anyway.
When these major systems have a problem, like people do not understand what it takes to work on them. And as soon as you start, they're like, hey, you know, what happened to the internet? It's like, oh, I told you we had to replace the router. So there is no internet. There's a lot of that. So,
yeah.
So yeah, anyway, but I, think that things are kind of like steady now and I'm going to be busy all year, but things are steady. So
that's good.
Definitely we can just back on the other topic. We definitely should podcast every week.
Yeah.
And
I think we can
and just keep going.
I think we can.
And I'm ready to roll though. I'm ready to roll into these other topics, especially the Keith topic.
I will consider it. Well, I've got some new tech that we're using right now. I wrote about it, but I switched out my Zoom H6 for the Zoom PodTrack P4. For a couple reasons. One, I could sell the H6 was $400 when I bought it 7 years ago. So just wrap your head around that, people out there. $400 7 years ago. I sold it on eBay for nearly $300. It was like $290.
Man, it's like a Honda.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, and it sold because I put it up for auction, and I had or buy it now at $290. And it sold in less than a day. It sold. Wow. It's a great device. It's fantastic. But I do more podcasting and not so much interviewing. So I don't.
Right.
I didn't need the microphone edition of the of the Zoom. So, and the PodTrack P4 is great. We've got a soundboard so we can do this. Oh yeah. and it comes with like 16 sounds. It's got like a trombone, but you can only use four at a time. Let's see what I got. Yeah. I got this one here. Yeah. Yeah, there it is. There we go. That's it. Yeah. We're back.
That's solid.
And, I got an Asus ZenBook Duo. I replaced my Surface Book, my 6-year-old Surface Book with an Asus ZenBook Duo. And the ZenBook, it's pretty cool because it's got two screens, but the main screen died about a month ago, so I had to send it back to get it repaired. And I got it back yesterday. And I was telling you before we started recording, I fired up Skype, and it's like, oh, where's your microphone? You don't have a microphone installed. And so I started going through drivers, and I don't have a microphone. And I think what they did is they replaced the screen, and the microphone sits in the lid for most laptops.
Yeah,
and they pulled out the microphone and forgot to put it back in. I think that's what they did. That's fantastic. It is what it is. We'll roll with it. Anyhow, but yeah, that's it. And of course, got a house, which is fantastic. Haven't had one of those before, so it's kind of cool. And I got a lawnmower and everything. I'm like a homeowner.
Oh, man. You got it all.
I got it. I mean, what more does anybody need? A lawnmower and an office to podcast. That's it.
Just, you know, take my advice, though. Just whatever lawn you have, just pave it. Just pave it out. You know, you could use like a rubbery substance, so it's good for the knees, but just pave it and just get an industrial leaf blower to keep it clean. And you'll be judged, but it's a lot less work. Just pave it.
Well, it's there. I don't believe it is against the HOA, so
do yeah, it.
I think might try it. I'll look into it. But so concrete, Patrick, is expensive.
You wanted to talk about streaming events.
I do. So at my school, ever since I've been there, people have been like, we need to stream more events. We need to do, you know. And we bought this little camera called a Mevo. And you have an app for it on your smartphone or tablet. And you can control it, but you can stream events right through it. Like, it connects to the Wi-Fi. And it's a wide-angle lens. And it's pretty sweet. But if we wanted to do, let's say, a sporting event where a single angle isn't good enough, like, we want to have multiple cameras, like, what can we get? What can we do? What can we buy? So I started looking at, what was it, the TriCaster? Is that what those things are called? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It is a TriCaster, but the TriCaster, I found out, sells for around $5,000 to $6,000. And what this box does is it allows you to, it takes a bunch of different video inputs and then it processes it so you can just like stream it right into like YouTube or something like that. But right. I saw this box called the ATEM Mini Pro from Blackmagic Design. Blackmagic is very high end, very well known. They're usually very expensive, but this box was $500 and it allows us to plug in four video inputs and it's just a little thing. We plug it into an Ethernet cord and then it's ready to go. It's ready to stream. Like, it has software on your computer you could plug up to and you can configure it for YouTube, Facebook Live, or Twitch. And then you just hit a button on the console and then you can control and you just plug it up to a monitor and you can kind of preview and see it's pretty sweet. So we bought two fairly inexpensive camcorders. We got the A10 Mini. And we got this one, and I think you talked about it earlier. The Hollyland Mars.
Yes,
yes. And what it does is it sends.
It's amazing.
Like, yeah, it's incredible. It's unbelievable. It's a little pricey. It's $300, but what it does is it'll wirelessly send an HDMI signal. So that's video and audio, 1080p.
So let me.
Oh
okay,
yeah. Go
so
ahead.
So let me say something about the Hollyland. I actually, this new classroom design we're working on, if it starts to go bad, we will probably start buying Hollylands to fix the problem. The only reason we did not buy them is because...
Oh. Uh-oh.
The Hollyland is designed on go. So we would have to add like power management to it, and we did look into that. But let me just say this: I took the Hollyland to our vendor's workshop. Now our vendor has like all the stuff from all the companies: Panasonic, ViewSonic, Smart, Epson. They've got it all like in this like one like space. So you can go over there and test your accessories and other things you already own before you buy it. So like if you want to buy a smart board and you got a bunch of visualizers, you want to see if they work, you take the visualizers over and you can make sure that they work before you buy that version of the smart board. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So I took the Hollylands over and I hooked it up, and the vendor uses the same video to test like all like HDMI stuff. We hooked it up, sent it, and it's all wireless. And the vendor walked over to the screen and like put his face to the screen. And he's like, okay, I've never seen anything like this. He's like, I have never seen wireless transmission this sharp before. He's like, there is no lag between the primary screen and the secondary screen. So we used it to clone a smart screen to another smart screen. That's what we were using it for.
Yeah.
The smart board has an HDMI out, so I hooked it on there and transmitted the output. So basically, if you turn on the screen, it makes the other screen turn on and it clones it. And this is this is more difficult to do than people realize, especially if your building is older and you've got to run a cable more than 50 feet.
Yeah. Yep.
You get signal degradation, and sending it wirelessly is even harder. So anyway, the Holly Land is awesome. The main issue, though, that we had is, like, it's a Chinese company. I even called somebody in China that I know, a Chinese guy, and I'm like, can you try to get a hold of them on the phone and just ask them if they've tested this thing to run, like, 8 hours straight and if it overheats?
Because it has, the Holly Land, they have app, their own fans.
Have you used the app on it? I've used the app?
No, I've not.
It has a little app, and you can connect it, and it'll show you the temperature, the fan speed, and let you look at the metrics.
Sweet. I'm downloading it right now.
Yeah, and it'll tell you if there's interference, because it creates its own, like, closed, like, 5 gigahertz network. So it'll tell you if there's interference in the area. So the app's cool. But, like, the app didn't really – we let it run for, like, 3 or 4 hours, mm-hmm. and it was fine. But still, we were like, oh, it's so new. And we were looking at buying, like, 20 of them, so we couldn't do it. So I'm just saying that the Holly Land is amazing. And if someone tells you that you cannot send, like Patrick is saying, that you can't do wireless HDMI point to point
with almost no latency, no lag.
I would say in most cases there's no noticeable latency at all.
Yep. And it's, so we just got done with our volleyball. We're a small school, so we only have two volleyball teams. We have two girls volleyball teams. We don't have a boys volleyball team. We just didn't have enough boys go out for the team. That's how small our school is. And so we had two – we set up on one corner of the gym with a tripod on a bunch of, like, athletic mats to make it a little taller. And on the other end of the gym, we had the other camera. But we have, like, a little balcony area that's closed off for people. So we went and set it up there so we knew it wouldn't be disturbed, and that way we can cover the whole volleyball court. And they could be static cameras. Nobody has to man them. Nobody has to move them around. They just there, and we just switch between HDMI 1, HDMI 2, HDMI 1, HDMI 2, depending, just following the action. And it worked really, really, really well. We had no problems at all. Never once was our, because we have a hardwire connection with our Ethernet, and the Holly Land worked great. The cameras worked really well. If we needed to, with the ATEM Blackmagic, we can even have graphics. So we would have like whenever there's a timeout, we don't want to just be showing an empty court. So what we would do is we put up a graphic on there, and if it was in between games, we'd put up a graphic, and then we'd run and we would change the batteries on the cameras. We had enough time to do that, and the graphic was up there, and nobody knew that those cameras disconnected for 30 seconds or anything like that. It was super awesome. It worked really, really well. We have basketball season coming out, and the problem is with basketball season, we may need a third camera. Because the volleyball court is much smaller than a basketball court, so we're probably going to have at least one person moving a camera back and forth.
Are you going to do just a drone camera? Just flying around. Fly it around.
Here, interesting you bring that up. No, the answer is no. So part of my goal in doing this, not only is just to stream more of our school's events, but also to work out all the kinks and stuff so students can run it. So we have a student team under adult supervision, of course, that's been running these live streams. And the ATEM Mini is so easy to use that they have been able to kind of do it. What we, the adults, kind of oversee is the setup. We just make sure things get set up properly and get taken down and put away properly. And of course, right. We help out. Like, if they have to go to the restroom, we'll jump in and take over. If they want to go get a snack or something, or if they have to leave, you know. So, but totally successful. We're talking seventh and eighth graders, Tony, that are able to run this setup with minimal training.
Oh, I believe it. I would say that, you know, if we could mostly just have seventh or eighth graders working at our schools full time, we might, you know, it might be the best outcome for everybody, because they're like super keen and they're not like afraid to do stuff.
Yep. And I
sure think there would be fires and there'd be like nothing would be, it would be messy. It would be really messy. Microwaves probably wouldn't last very long, but it, you know, I don't know. I don't know.
It'd be good. And I think if they're volunteers, it totally skirts child labor laws. Totally gets around all that stuff. You just be like, they're volunteers,
this guy that
sir.
Works in my department, he follows all of your posts for all the stuff that you test.
Oh.
And it's funny, he started doing that before I started working at the school. So he knew about you.
Oh.
And he likes the way you test stuff, and he is rigging up. We have some equipment. My school is part of this group called Malone Schools, and we have students who participate in Malone, in the Malone program, and that means that certain students have these Malone classes, and Malone teachers can be anywhere in the United States, and they have very specific requirements for the room and the audio and video and stuff. And before, they required us to own a fairly expensive set of equipment, and now they don't. Because of COVID, they switched to Zoom and some other stuff. So we actually ended up with like this Malone camera hardware. And we didn't know what to do with it. And he read your post and realized that we had something similar to the TriCaster already that we'd used before. So he rigged up these Malone cameras with the TriCaster and just some other hardware that we had. We didn't buy the Black Magic, but
yeah.
And he now has the video working, and the Malone cameras can be remote controlled. So he's got those working, and we're actually going to look at buying the Zoom like you have, that smaller version instead of the we have a bigger version for our podcasting, but we're going to get the smaller version like you're using. I'm like, we can get that and run all the audio through that with the camera, and then we'll have a good like portable rig, but we can control the cameras with a computer.
That's
like
awesome.
The position of the cameras. And so he got inspired by your post.
That's awesome. I'm hey, I'm glad to help. Yeah.
I didn't even know. He was like, "Did you read this?" I was like, "No."
Thanks, man. Thank you.
I haven't read it yet. He's like, "Dude," he's like, "This is, we can do this." He's like, "We can do the same model that you're," he's like, we can make this work, because we're getting the same stuff. Like more after COVID, like people want to do more streaming.
Yep.
They just do. And I'm even having one of our larger rooms like spec'd out to make it better for doing like big streaming events, which are horrible right now for us because we don't have a room designed for it. But yeah, I mean, I think one takeaway here, whether or not you believe us about the HDMI thing, and I say that kind of in a snarky way because there is someone who I work with who does not believe me that this works. And I sent it back because we didn't need the Holly Land. We decided not to use it. And now, like, I was in an argument last week because someone told me it was impossible.
Oh,
I'm like, I just did it.
Yeah.
I just did it. But what I'm saying is, like, right now in education, there's a push for more streaming. And if you want to go with any of these big solutions that do streaming, they're so expensive. So your solution is affordable. And like you said, anybody can learn to do it.
That's right. Yeah. I think that's the thing. When I sat down with our business office and I had everything broken down, like the price, and when we say affordable, I mean, we spent well over $1,000 for this whole setup. But this is something that should last us for 7-8 years, and we can always swap out cameras if the A10 Mini, if there are newer versions, or if this one dies. It's all very modular. Everything in there can be swapped out. It's not like this whole package where it's like, oh, you have to have this or you have to have that kind of a deal. So, and we streamed every home volleyball game with no problems, and it worked really well. Our biggest challenge is coming up is basketball, because This could be one of those messy things you're talking about, Tony. So the A10 Mini has two audio line ins. So you have four HDMIs, but you also can add in two audio line ins. So if you want somebody doing like play by play, you can buy a cheap gaming headset, and just strap it on some kid's head and just let them go to town. I don't know.
That would be awesome.
It sounds good.
As long as you've got a delay, you need a delay.
we don't.
If you're gonna have a middle school or high school kid doing any kind of live commentary, you've got to have some way to delay.
So we're lucky. We have somebody in our marketing department who has experience on radio, and he really likes sports. And he's like, look, when basketball comes around, let me know, and I can work with some of these students. So we're gonna give that a try. Basketball season doesn't start until November, but the whole volleyball streaming went really well. I mean, there were some hiccups with the A10 Mini. Like there was one thing where it inverts the colors. If everything is plugged up and you suddenly cut the power to the A10 Mini, just turn it off because there's no power switch. So we just turn off like the power strip and then turn it back on. It will invert the colors on channel one. I don't know. Whoa. I don't know why. It doesn't last. So we just unplugged it, put it in channel three. It was fine. And then the next game, we plugged it back in channel one and it was fine. I don't know. It's just weird, but I saw somebody do it on
probably,
a YouTube video.
You know, one issue with a lot of this stuff is it's a analog to digital converter of some kind, usually.
Yep.
Or it's built in, or it's a signal converter. It's digital, but it's still converting a signal. So it probably could easily just be something like that. It's software, you know. It's software based. So, I was looking at another like live switcher right now, that an older version, to see if it has a delay. I'd send it to you. It's basically like literally designed so you can hear what the kid is saying and then stop them before it goes out over the air. That's what you need. You need that.
What I think our next step is not only is broadcasting, but is eventually bring in use the OBS software. You know, the open source broadcasting software. Is that what OBS stands for? I'm not sure, but because there I think you can. What does OBS? Hold on here. I'm just going to Google it.
Open Broadcaster Software.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. And it's free. And I think you can do a delay there. I think you definitely have some options. But the problem with open source software is that there is no support. You know, it's just people figuring it out and building their own plugins and stuff. So it's a little messy.
Have you ever tried to use Microsoft's official support?
No.
There's no way it can be worse than that. So let me just say.
Hey, Windows 11, Tony. Windows 11 on Tuesday comes out on Tuesday. On Tuesday, I'm hesitant. I'm hesitant. I'm just saying I'm not going to be updating right away. I might wait up to the end of the month, but yeah.
Oh, I wonder. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I should like tell people not to update. I don't know. Windows is kind of dead to me. So
yeah, I think it's Windows is dead for Microsoft. I think they're just gonna. I think it's gonna be thin clients. I think it's just gonna be a thin client.
I 100% agree, and I'm trying to have this conversation right now because Amazon Workspaces has finally developed a predictable pricing model after years. And there are some people that are working in our offices, and they're always having these weird Windows issues, and it's so annoying. And I was like, what if I gave them a Mac and then got them a Workspaces account?
Yeah.
So whenever they have to do the accounting or whatever, they pop open the Workspace, and they do that. And then everything else they do on the Apple. And I'm really close. And I talked to a business manager about it. I'm like, look, it's going to cost us this much a month forever. But we're only talking about like five people, and look at the number of like IT requests just from these five people.
Yeah, there you go.
So I don't know. He was open to it because I'm like, at the end of the day, it's 95% of their work can be done on Apple. It's just some of the software doesn't run on it. And nobody wants to do, you know, virtualization because it's annoying. You know, the virtual machines can crash and stuff. So
yeah, they're very resource heavy.
I think Microsoft's going to thin clients. I was looking at some new Azure deployment stuff, and if you think the future of Windows is buying a computer and running Windows on the computer, you're wrong.
Yeah,
they're gonna want you to run. You'll have a light version of Windows. It'll have like Solitaire on it, a calculator, and Wi-Fi settings.
Office.
Everything else is going to come from the cloud.
I bet Office will be on it as well.
I think Office is going to be on it, but I think some of the Office features, like the cool features, you're going to have an Office 365 account.
Yep.
And if you don't have those features, I think you're going to be on a more limited version of Office. So like Office is on it, but it's all locked out unless you're connected at least with a license.
Yeah.
I think it'll be fully functional if you're not online. I do think that. But I do think you're going to have the same license. You know what I mean? You're going to have the cloud license. So it'll be moot. You'll have Office 365 because you'll have the cloud license.
Yep. Yep. And for people who are thinking, oh, this is ridiculous, they have for enterprise, they have this model that they're rolling out. And the tech blogs are like, oh, it's so expensive. But no, it's actually very reasonable because not only are you getting Windows, but you're also getting an Office 365 account for every license of Windows that you are right. purchasing. So it actually works out pretty well.
So I'm not against it at all. I just think that people need to realize that's where it's going. And if you don't really understand what we're talking about, just literally imagine you log into your computer and you have like a 64 GB hard drive and that's it. Because everything you need to do comes from the cloud and your company is managing you from the cloud. There are no servers within your organization really at all.
Yeah.
Like it's all up there. And your devices are managed through their Intune system that lets them install software for you, give you an app store of sorts, and erase and reset your devices.
And if you, let's say you get a promotion or whatever, or you have a project where you need a more powerful computer, they don't have to give you a new computer. They simply give you more resources in the cloud. They're like, oh, you have an i5. We'll give you an i9 now. You have 8 gigs of RAM. So we'll give you 32 gigs of RAM. So
that's
You do that processing all in the cloud. So you don't have to do it on the machine.
Yep.
So
Adobe's on board too.
Yes.
Adobe's on board. They're on board with all this. And if you're like, why are they doing it? Why are they doing this to us? Ransomware. Okay. Windows is problematic. It's been problematic from day one, the way that it works. The computers are so easy to exploit. If people are allowed to do anything on their machines, it's easy to exploit. So people are sick of ransomware. So they're like, just push it out of the cloud and we don't have to worry about it anymore.
Yeah. And
so
another thing is it'll always be updated. All your drivers are going to work, or at least they should work.
That's right. Yeah.
So
and if there's a problem, it's a central fix. Like fix the driver. It'll update for everyone, you know, as long as they're on the internet. This is the big problem, though, right? Like, we're thinking about this from our perspective of expecting internet on all the time. Yeah. If you're in any situation where that's not the case, this would ruin your life.
And
Microsoft isn't going to care. And when you complain on their support forum, you will realize that they don't care.
They don't care. So they don't care. And
that's the downside.
And there's also privacy, too. There's also privacy concerns. You know, is that it's your data, but you're storing it on Microsoft's server. And so Microsoft would say,
Patrick, you're choosing to store it. That way we don't have to steal it. That, you know, they're basically saying, hey, you've opted in. We no longer have to steal it.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, we have to respect that.
Yeah. You got to love their honesty. You got to love their honesty. It's kind of like a dystopian world out there with, you know.
Oh, okay. So we're crossing over.
So Tony's
dystopian school.
You put this on here. I don't know anything about this.
So first off. When you hear the word dystopia,
I think Hunger Games.
I, Yeah, I looked up the definition because I just want to be sure we didn't you know think it was one thing, but actually it's something else. So it's you know, generally it's an imagined world or society in which their people are like dehumanized or it's horrible, you know, there's like an apocalypse, something like that. But I was thinking that really depends on your perspective, because like there's some people who really like the Hunger Games who are living in that world. They really liked it, and other people hated it, right?
Yeah.
So it really depends on your perspective. Some people it's a utopia, and other people it's a dystopia.
Oh.
So I was thinking about this week. I have noticed a trend in the last few years with what I don't know if it's everywhere, but definitely within education, where people are just like always, they're just asking for a lot of small, like petty things, but they're making them like huge. Like, if I don't get a new office chair, I'm out of here. Stuff like that. And last year I was kind of in an argument with somebody and I was like, listen, if I were to double your salary right now, and double means double, so do you, you know, like double it, would you teach in any room that I gave you and not complain? And they were like, yeah. I'm like, so this isn't about the room. This is about money. Like, and I'm like, that's what this is about. This is about a value proposition. So I started thinking about it, and I just had this like weird thought about setting up a school. Now the school would be managed by Kevin Sorbo, who was previously Hercules. Yes.
I'm putting this in the show notes, probably, Kevin Sorbo.
Yeah. And you know, I'm assuming he's going to recruit, what's her name? Lucy Lawless.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that's going to happen, you know, on its own to any, and I don't even think he'll be like your number two. I think he'll just like put her in charge of like discipline or something weird, like a new position that we haven't even thought about. So anyway, at this like Kevin Sorbo managed school, it would work like this. You would pay teachers, like the starting contract would be very high. So you would start every teacher out, let's say at like $105,000 a year. And you would give them like increments at 5, 10, and like 15 years that are solid increments and not these little like cost of adjustment things. But they would have to sign a document, basically, Patrick, saying the following. One, we will never, ever request any supplies. So if they ever request like even a pencil, they're fired.
Well,
like immediately.
Hold on. There's got to be some basic supplies that you're providing them.
No. Hold on. I'm not saying there won't be basic. I'm not. So Kevin Sorbo, Patrick, is going to choose all the stuff for the teachers. That's what I'm saying. Like, okay, Kevin Sorbo's right. Running school. Can you think of anyone better? I mean, wasn't he pretty successful?
He was,
as Hercules.
He was very. That show ran for quite a while. I put the Wikipedia page on there.
Yeah, I mean, it ran for like a long time, and you know, he pulled it off. Like,
6 seasons, yeah.
And he, you know, he's in shape and everything, but he wasn't that big.
Yeah, yeah.
Sounds like a huge hulky guy. So anyway, so what I'm saying is, regardless of who runs the school, someone is going to look at all classrooms and say every classroom is going to be like this. Whatever the classrooms are going to have, they're going to choose all the stuff for band. They're going to choose all the stuff. Okay. They're going to centrally order all the materials. They're going to order all the things and they're going to order all the subscriptions. You're not even going to know where it comes from. It'll just be like, you show up one day and it's like, here's your login to IXL. You don't even know, mm-hmm. You know, and they're going to give it to you and you got to use it. You have to use it. So like, if they give you something, you have to use it. And if you don't use it, you're fired. And if you ask for anything, you're fired. But you get to teach. So your curriculum, whatever you teach, that's totally up to you.
Oh,
so like,
yeah, there you go.
There's going to be some standards. Like, your school will have some standards, obviously. Like, if you went to like Kevin Sorbo, I can see him doing more of an IB school instead of an AP school.
Yeah.
But like, he might do like an IB world school. He might go all MYP, you know, not skip the middle. So whatever is going to happen, there's going to be a curriculum. So you're going to teach the standards You're not going to get fired for anything related to your like curriculum or whatever. There'll be ways to remediate that. Okay. There'll be a million ways for you to improve your teaching. There'll be people to help you. There'll be normal classroom observation. But if you ask for a different brand of coffee to be purchased, you are fired.
You're out the door.
If you say, I don't want, if you just say, I don't want, it's over. You're done. Like if you take a chair from another room, you're fired. Like the stuff in the school, you just have to use it. So you get a super high salary. You get to control what you're teaching and how you teach it. And you know, you've done a little bit of research before you take the job, so you already know if the school has at least enough resources for you to do your job. But let's say they give you a textbook, Patrick, and you're like, oh, you know, this is the 6th edition. I went the 7th. You're fired. You're just done. You're done. You don't get to do that. So like textbooks, Kevin Sorbo is going to like find those and they're just going to show up. Like they're just going to be there and you got to use them. And if Kevin Sorbo is running a really bad school, and let's say it's a private school, all the parents will leave and it'll go out of business. So he's got a job to do. He's got to make sure people are happy. He's got to make sure the kids are doing well. They still have to take their ID tests. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he's got to answer to somebody. As a teacher, you just like, you don't even see the technology department, right? Like you don't see any of the people making the school run. Just stuff shows up. You use it. If something's broken, there is a way for you to get it repaired or get it replaced.
Of course, yeah.
But like, let's say you are an Apple school. You don't get, if you say, I'd really like a Windows computer, you're fired.
You're out of there.
Just, it doesn't even matter if it's polite. Like, you can't even ask a question about it.
Well,
like, resources are the resources. So that's the dystopian school, which for me could be a utopia, but for a teacher could be a dystopia.
Well,
so that's what I was thinking.
I don't think you're too far off. Now, Kevin Sorbo, I don't know if a school could afford him. I have a feeling his expertise, he would demand quite the salary. I don't know if it's affordable. It might even be 7 figures. But anyway, we know of a school that is not so strict like that, but Saudi Aramco. That school right there, because Saudi Aramco, for those who don't know, is in Saudi Arabia. And Saudi Arabia is not a tourist destination. There's not a lot. There's nothing really there to see unless you're Muslim, and then you're doing a Mecca. You're going to Mecca. You're making the pilgrimage. But that's not like a tourist, like Disney World. That's, you know, like an obligation. It's not. And these people make very good salaries, and they only get, I believe, like 2 to 4 weeks off a year, but they make really high salaries, really high. But it's kind of the thing, like, hey, you don't like this? Get out. There's the door. We have 40 people waiting to take your position, maybe even more. So,
yep.
So you might be on something.
This is what I'm thinking about. So. Yep. If anybody is interested in starting this kind of school, let me know, because I would really like to give it a try.
Does anybody have Kevin Sorbo's contact information or Lucy Lawless? I figure we're okay with either one.
Yeah, either one would probably be fine.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe, I mean, there could be another person out there who might be good. You know, somebody else who might be, you know, better, but I couldn't think of anybody who would be better. At the time of conceiving this idea the other day, I was kind of angry when I thought about it. But then at some point, I remember that conversation I had with that teacher, and I was like, if I doubled your salary, would you care about, you know, this? And they were like, no.
Well, no, there it is.
Like, so you're saying it's not that important that you could do your job if you just had more money? Like, do you realize you just lost that argument? That's a true story. So I was getting really frustrated with somebody who wanted something that I thought was ridiculous. And I was like, if your salary was doubled, would you walk away from this and not worry about it? And they were like, yeah. I'm like, well, so it's not important for what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, not, you obviously don't need it, because if you needed it, you would have said, no, I can't do my job at all if I don't have this.
Yeah.
So that was an extreme situation, but anyway.
Very cool. I like it. Dystopian or utopian school, depending on which department you're in. your
That's role. Right.
I like it. I like it. I like it. If you open the school, let me know. I might come over. I really like where I am. Really love my school, but the chance to work with Kevin Sorbo, who says no to Kevin Sorbo or Lucy Lawless? Who says no to that?
I got to reach out to this guy.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Let's do it.
I haven't seen him in
too many things. You can choose the furniture, Kevin Sorbo. You can choose the furniture.
And I have, the last time I saw him, I don't know. I saw him like in an interview like a few years ago or something. He looked pretty good. He looked pretty good. He looked like he could pivot into another career, into another, you know, field. I bet he could. He was Kevin Sorbo. You know, he is Kevin Sorbo. He was Hercules. He can do that. He can do it.
Yeah. Hercules is the definition of leadership.
It is. With strength and compassion.
That's right.
Yep.
All right. I'm going to have to go watch some reruns now.
There you go. There you go. But that's it. I don't have anything else. I don't know if you want to talk about anything else, but I think that's all I've got. That is all I have.
That's all I have for now. And I hope it's going to wake up some people and just really get them thinking and hopefully, you know, understand that at least part of that was a joke. So
I hope so. I've got a new post coming out tomorrow where I ask the question, should schools buy these devices? Because there's a new iPad mini out there and there are three, I'm not counting three new Microsoft devices. And Tony, for those people who don't have time to read it, the answer is no. No, no, your school should not buy any of these devices.
Don't buy them. Don't.
The iPad mini is stupid. Because it doesn't really fit anywhere.
I thought they got rid of the mini.
No, no, they had it. They just let it sit there and wither on the vine, and now they refreshed it, and it's more expensive. It's $150 more expensive than the school.
If you travel a lot,
yeah,
you want something to read on.
Yeah, yeah, it's great for a traveling device, but I don't think it's a great student device. I don't think it's a great student. I think the cheap entry level iPad is. Because they run the same software. There's nothing that the iPad mini can do that the regular iPad can't do. So why would you spend $150 for that? What? I don't know. The Microsoft Surface Go 3 is small and great. It's great for if you travel a lot, but you can buy a Chromebook a lot cheaper. It's going to achieve what you want. The Surface Studio laptop, I don't know if you saw that thing, but that thing is just, I don't know, it looks really weird. And then the Surface Pro 8 looks awesome.
Is it a beast? Is the Studio a beast?
No, I don't think it is. There's no AMD option because they have Thunderbolt. So it's Thunderbolt's Intel, it needs an Intel processor to run, I believe. So
does it have that weird puck for drawing?
You can still use the puck. But the screen doesn't detach like the Surface Book. They don't have the Surface Book anymore. It's gone. So it's weird. Anyway, it's weird. Take a look at it. It's strange. It's really strange. But the Surface Pro 8 is incredible. But it's too expensive to buy for all your teachers.
For anyone out there who might be interested, I'm thinking about buying a personal computer for myself. So because there's a lot of things I can do anything I want on my work computer. I just don't. I'm planning on buying like an Alienware from 2016 on eBay.
Hey, there
you go. So that's where my life's at right there. I like to go like old and cheap and just keep it going.
Yeah. And I don't mind buying cheap smartphones, but I like to try new and weird, new and different computers. So I was drawn to the Asus ZenBook Duo, and I was drawn to the Surface Book. And I'm drawn to the Surface Pro 8 because it is so refined. This is, I think, what people have been waiting for. This is the
Surface Pro 8?
Yeah, it's the most exciting one since the Surface Pro 4. And the Surface Pro 4 is pretty great at it for its time. I think the Surface Pro 8 is even better than that. It's great. It's fantastic. It's just, it's so stupid. They don't bundle the keyboard. I understand you don't bundle the pen, but bundle the keyboard. It's just why
you got to put. Everyone's gonna buy it.
Like, yeah, they will. And Microsoft has.
It's not like you're sucking them in, and they'll be like, "Oh, wait, now I'm gonna." It's not like buying gum at the checkout line at the supermarket. Okay, everyone wants the keyboard. They need it.
They need it.
If you're gonna spend that much, if you don't need the keyboard, you don't need the Surface Pro 8.
That's right. That's right.
You don't need a Pro anything.
Mm-mm.
If you don't need the keyboard, you can just get the Surface Go.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Or an iPad.
So that's the lesson. I would explain that to the people at Microsoft Support, but they don't care and they won't reply.
They do not care.
Oh, they'll reply. Their chat bots will get you going in a circle. Psychological circle.
Yes.
That will drive you nuts.
Yes.
And you'll just stop.
Yeah, I remember reaching out. I bought something through Microsoft for our school, and I was just trying to get the tracking number, and I just wanted to see the order, and I just wanted the tracking number, and it was just round and round, and when I finally got to somebody on a live person on a chat, they said, "Oh, we can't help you with that. I'm sorry. You need this department here. We'll give it to go back in, and here's what you need to type in the chat." And of course, I typed it in, and it didn't work. I got stuck with the bot. It was terrible. Anyway, but that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it, Tony. Right. I'm done.
Well, next week it'll be more EdTech, or we'll be switching gears and launching a new podcast with this podcast, probably a series about the mistakes that Keith has made in his life.
But we need to talk about his triumphs over adversity too.
Okay, that could be like the second series.
Okay, all right.
After we get people hooked and they're like, "How's it possible?"
I need to know more. But anyway, well, for IT Babble, I'm Patrick.
And I'm Tony.
And we will catch you on the next episode. Keep on babbling out there. Thanks for watching. Well, listening. That's it.